Okay, we're on Sota Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We just finished this thing where Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Rav Loch, it's enough for you. And we said the measure for measure was he told Korach, Rav Loch, it's enough that you're a Levi, don't look for any more. So Hashem said the same thing. So this is one interpretation of that. And the Gemara ended off by saying, Rav Loch, Hashem said it's much for you too. So that's what he got. That's one interpretation. Dover Acher, another way of understanding Rav Loch. When it says Rav Loch, it's much for you. When Hashem said to Moshe, it's much for you. Rav Yesh Loch. Another way of looking at it. Rav can mean a lot. Rav can mean like a rabbi, a master. Rav Yesh Loch. There's a master waiting to assume your position. In other words, time for you to go. And Rav, a new rabbi, Yeshlach, there is for you. Umano, and who is that? Yeshua. In other words, Yeshua is the next in line. So Moshe is davening, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Shasem says, no, Rav Loch. What's Rav Loch mean? There's another Rav that the Jewish people have, and you can't enter Eretz Yisrael because then Yeshua can't be the leader. He can't be the leader. One leader, the concept is one person cannot be the leader till the other leader is finished. Can't have two at the same time. Third interpretation. Dover Afer, third shot is, Rav Loch, it's much for you, means it's enough for you. Don't pray too much, for which I can't allow you. Why? I'm going to say, like, remember, Moshe Davin, 515 prayers. It's enough. Stop praying. Why? Because what are people going to say after they're going to say, listen, he prayed to him 515 times. Couldn't you at least answer him once? Shalom Yomu. We don't want to cast aspersions on God's kindness. And people will say, Harav Kamakosha. Look how harsh is the master. Vitalmid Kamasarvan. And look how imploring is the student. He keeps asking and keep asking. And Hashem, the words before said, stop talking to me about this issue. Rav Loch, it's too much asking, right? And the Kol Kach Lama, and why was God so strict with Moshe for punishing for the words he chose? Why was Hashem, did he use those words, Rav Loch? Tana Dei Rishmol, in school Yishol taught, Lafum Gamlo Shichano. According to the camel is the burden. What does that mean? So just as one, if you have a strong camel, what do? You give a bigger load. So a person is a bigger tzaddik, gets more justice exacted against him. The greater you are, the more Hashem expects from you. Right? That's what I always said when I was a teacher in Eitz Chaim. You know, there was no such things as, you know, everybody got paid on a scale. Everyone was treated the same. So my one criticism, whatever, I said, you know how good teachers are rewarded in this school? They just give you tougher classes. More money you don't get, more nothing you don't get. You don't get anything. If there's two parallel classes, if you're the better teacher, you get the tougher class. And then that just wears out the good teachers. Okay, well anyway, that's, you know.
That didn't go too well.
Well, I eventually left. Eventually left. It's just that it got too hard. It was, you know. And if you're not so good, you know, then they give you the easier class. So I said, what's the incentive for me? Okay, the incentive is I'm teaching God's children. Yeah, but whatever. It's not. It's well, let's not go there. But anyway, with Hashem and Tzaddikim, it works, you know, the same way in theory that, you know, the greater you are. If me and you would say Rav Loch to Korach, we wouldn't be punished for it. But if Moshe Rabbeinu is, so he gets that. All right, now we're going to continue on, now that we're on the topic of Moshe, we'll now continue with the death of Moshe. Now that we've been talking about Moshe, we're going to talk about the events right before his death. Vayomer Aleihem. Now Moshe turns to the Jewish people, and he says to them in Parshas Nitzav, Vayelech, Ben Mea Ve'eshrim Shana Anochi Hayom. I am 120 years old today. Why does he have to say, I am 120 years old today? She'ein Talmud Lomer Hayom Hayom. It wasn't necessary to say today, because he's speaking to them today, right? So the answer is Mol'u Yomai Ushnasai. Hayom Hayom Mol'u Yomai Ushnasai. Today my days have been filled. In other words, today is my birthday. In other words, I'm exactly 120 years today. That's what he's saying. Today was the day I was, this was Zion Ador. Today was the day I was born, and today is going to be the day I'm going to die. And what do we learn from this? That Hashem completes the years of the righteous. Miyom liyom, from day to day, umichodesh lechodesh, and from month to month. In other words, Hashem lets the righteous live out their final year until the very day of the month in which they were born. Okay, and I know you're going to ask, Akasha, I, there's so many tzaddikim, weren't. Very few people were born and died the same day. But, dichsiv, how do we know this? The pasuk says, es mispar yomecha amale. It's written that God said, the number of your days I will complete. Okay, so, and there's no commentary here, but you see, tzaddikim, you know, so you could say, you know, he fills their days, that their days are meaningful and worthwhile.
But it mean to Rosh Hashanah?
No, it means, fill, and they don't all die in Rosh Hashanah either. So,
isn't it supposed to be 130, actually?
No, 120. No, 120. That's
the 10 years they took away?
No, that was Yosef. You're mixing up with Yosef. No, it says in Parshas Noach, Hashem says, from now on, everyone's going to live on. Or it was 120 years. Yeah. That's it. So that's all you get. That's right. You don't get more than that. So, but a tzaddik does. So okay. You know why we see not like that? I can't. I don't know. So now Moshe continues. Lo uchal od lotzeislo. I can no longer go out and come in. What does that mean? I can't go out and come in. My lotzeislo. What does it mean? I can't go out and come in. Elam, it doesn't really mean on the pashup shot lotzeislo mamish. He couldn't go in and go out, meaning he was weak. He couldn't move. That's not true. Vaksiv, the pasuk says over there as well. Moshe ben Me'av Esrim Shana B'Moshe. Moshe was 120 years old when he died, and the pasuk says, "Lo nei lo nos lecho." His vigor had not diminished. It also says before his eyes had not dimmed. In other words, some say also the moisture. In other words, his skin was still soft. Yeah. He was a strong person. He did a lot of things on that last day. He wrote 13 Sefer Torahs. He was quite a busy man on that last day. So it can't mean he wasn't strong enough to go out in. Uksiv. And furthermore, it says, Fayal Moshe Marvis Moav Har Nevo. He ascended the plains of Moav to Har Nevo. That's a nice climb for an Alta Kaker, you know, for 120 years old. You know, he ain't a guy who's on his last thing, leg, as it were. And, you know, so he was not infirm. That is definitely not the case. And also, we also know that Tanya, Bryce had taught, Shteim Esrei Malos Hayu Sham. There were 12 steps there. Upas and Moshe of Siachas. And Moshe took them in one flying leap. He could leap over 12 steps. He was definitely strong. So what's going on over there? So what does it mean, I can't go? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nechmein, Amar Rav Yochanan, he says, Lotzeis v'lavo b'divrei Torah. I can't go out and in words of Torah. Which means, Milamet shenistavtmu mimenu shari Torah. It means that the gates of wisdom were closed to him at this time. In other words, it was Hashem took away his incredible genius, right? So now the Jews will have no problem with them appointing a new leader in Yehoshua. All right? So, and also that Moshe shouldn't be troubled so much about his death. Okay? Now, listen, the commentaries say it doesn't mean that Moshe lost his Torah wisdom, but rather he lost his ability to express his Torah wisdom to others. Go out and come in through the gates, meaning to teach the people. In other words, he was always able to teach them throughout his lifetime by just letting a little of his genius come out. But on the day that he died, the wellsprings of Torah that were there were no longer able to come out. In other words, he wasn't able to teach. In other words, he was so great. Here's the thing. Moshe was so intelligent. Some of these people are so intelligent they can't teach simple people. So Moshe had the ability. He could teach everybody. But now that ability, he was like closed off from the world. He still had all the Torah in his head, but he just couldn't give it over to anyone. That's what Hashem did to him, you know. So therefore, he's not able to teach anymore. So he can't teach anymore, then the people will be okay. So we need another leader. So that's what happens next. Vayelech Moshe Yeshua. So Moshe and Yeshua, they go. Vayisyatzvu be'olamoid. And they stand in the Mishkan. Tana, Bryce had taught us the following. Osa Shabbos Shel Diyu Zugei Haisa. Okay. Come on back. Okay. So he says that was the Shabbos of two pairs. In other words, the Jewish people saw the outgoing leader and the incoming leader. Interesting. The commentaries say the tradition that Moshe passed away on Shabbos. Now, this is an interesting thing. If that's the case, he says, I'm 120 years old today. It means on that Shabbos, right? But we know that that is Zion Ador. And 7th of Ador never can fall out on Shabbos. So it's a problem. Okay, well, so anyway, so that's what it was. That Shabbos, so it's an interesting conundrum. So what does it mean? There were two pairs. Nitla Rishus Mizeh, the authority was taken from one. V'nitla Zeh was given to the other. Okay? And that's the way it usually was on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you know, the Gemara says that the biggest rabbi would speak on Shabbos. So the rare case would happen when the transition took place on Shabbos. So here was a Shabbos of two peers, where in the morning Moshe was the leader, but by the end of the day, Yeshua became the leader.
Maybe he died on Sunday.
Well, I don't know. It seems to say, he said, on this day. It all happened on this day. Okay, V'tanya, we also learned in a Braisa, Amar of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Il male mikra kosov, had the Torah not written these words, he efshel Amar would be impossible to say it on our own, which is what? Hey, okay, that's now, more now says, so be, okay. Had the Torah not said, we know. So now, Heichad Moshe Meis, where did Moshe die? The answer is, Bechelko Shel Ruven. It was in the portion of Ruven. Dichsiv, because the text says, now Ruven is where? On the other side of the Jordan River. Remember, Ruven, God, and half of Manasseh got their portion on the other side of the Jordan River. Because remember, he didn't get to enter Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's in the chelik of Ruven. And the pasuk says, Vayal Moshe me arvos Moav, Moshe ascended from the plains of Moav to a place called Har Nevo, the mountain of Nevo. Now where is Nevo? Unevo bechelko shel Ruven kaimo. Nevo is in the portion of Ruvain. Dichsiv, as this pasuk came before, and that described their territory. It says, Ubnei Ruvain, Beno, etc. Ve'es Nevo. The children of Ruvain built up places, and one of the places was Nevo. So we say that Nevo was there.
So that's east of the Jordan River.
Yes, east, and it could be even north of the Jordan. Oop, I skipped. The brackets say, Nevo, another interpretation of Nevo, Shebo, Mesu, Shlosha, Nevim. This is where three prophets died. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Nevo is a short version of Novi. So Nevim died. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they died in that region. Okay, now that's one thing. Now the Gemara asks. So that's where, one second, let's be clear over here. The first Gemara says, where did he die? Where did he die? Now the next question is, Eichon Moshe Kover.
Yeah.
Where is he buried? Interesting. Bechelko Shel Gad, in the portion of Gad, which is also on the other side of the Jordan River. How do we know that? Dechsiv, it says, Vayareishi Slovachulo. And Gad saw the beginning of the conquest of the land for himself. And what's Moshe saying? That and he knew that it's the hidden plot of Moshe Rabbeinu himself, as the pasuk goes on. So it's over there. Now, Umechelko Shel Ruvain at Chelko Shel Gad Kamahavi. Now wait a minute. What's the distance from the portion of Ruvain until the portion of Gad? We said he died in Ruvain's place. He's buried in God's place. It's Arba Milin. It's 4 mil. It's about 3 miles. Okay, so now the question is, Osa Arba Mil Milcha, so who took him those 4 miles? If he died in one place, he's buried in another place, there was nobody there with him. Malami, it teaches us, Shayamoisha Mutal Bakanfe Shechina. Moshe was laying on the wings of the Shechina. He was transported magically. Umalache Ashareis Omrim, and the angels said it on that. Tzidkas Hashem asa u'mishpatav im Yisrael. He carried out the righteousness of Hashem and his ordinance with Israel. That was the eulogy that was given by the angels. V'kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said, Mi yakum li im mareim. Who will arise up for me against evildoers? Right? and to rebuke them in my name and to transfer them into these some people. And who's left to rebuke the people? Misa slave the Bohem, who's going to stand up for him against evildoers? Hashem's lamenting the loss of Moshe, who was able to stand up about these people. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel said, what did Hashem say about him? Mika chachom mi odea peshedev, who's like the wise man and can resolve difficult things like Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, hachachma me'ayin timatzei, wisdom, but where can it be found? Which also can be translated, wisdom can only be found with someone who is like a nothing. Hachachma, wisdom comes me'ayin, ayin means nobody. And Moshe was the humblest person, so that's what says, chachma comes from ayin, from somebody who thinks he's nothing, that he becomes wise. These are all different eulogies that Hashem said over Moshe. Rav Nachman Amar, Nachman says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, there Moshe died in the land of Moab. Okay, the pasuk goes on by the mouth of Hashem. The word vayomos can be read as a contraction of two words, vai and mace. Woe that he died. So, Somalian Omar, Somalian said, who's Somalian? Not a rebel or anybody, but it's a name of a rabbi. Oh no, this is the name of an angel. Right, the Talmudic sage, so someone say it's a rabbi. Tosa says that it was an angel. Okay, so what's he saying? Vayomos Shom Moshe Safra Rabbi Yisrael. Moshe, the great scholar of the Jewish people, died. And that's the woe, he's such a great scholar. Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, Shneimasar mil, shel Shneimasar mil. It was over an area of 12 mil by 12 mil, 12 kilometers square. Keneged Machane Yisrael, corresponding to the area where all the Jews lived. Baskol Mashmiya, a heavenly voice resounded, saying, Vayomas Moshe Safa Rabbi Yisrael, Moshe the great scholar of the Jewish people died. Okay, in other words, as the commentary says, each opinion now says a greater quality, which is better types of eulogies. Okay? V'yesh Omrim, and some say, Lo Meis Moshe. Some say Moshe did not die as everyone else died. Why? K'siv Hach, it says over here, Vayomot Shom, he died there. K'siv Hasam, then it says, Vayehi Shom Im Hashem, and he remained there with Hashem for 4 days and 40 nights. Shom and Shom. So Malon, just like over there, Omer Mishamas, he stood and served Hashem for 40 days and 40 nights and he was alive. Afkan, even here, though it says Vayamas, Omer Mishamas, he's standing in service of Hashem. You got to know what that means. Probably allegorically, that he's still learning with him or whatever. Vayik Baroso Bagai, he was buried in the valley over there. Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav. Mul Beis Peor, opposite the idol of Peor. As we said in one of our classes, in one of our drushes, that's the whole vort. Moshe always stood against immorality. So that's why he'd be buried right against that, as we'll see. Amar Rab Brechia, Rab Brechia says, Simen Besoch Simen. The Torah gives us a sign within a sign in describing the location. In other words, it's really clear. The land of Moab, right opposite Beis Peor. So it's pretty good GPS instructions. Is still in all, even with all that description, so the Torah says that no one knows his burial place. Now, God did not want that. Can you imagine if now they knew where Moshe's burial place was? What would that be? Fourth holiest Muslim site in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Or they would burn it. Yeah. Like with Yosef again, right?
Yeah.
Or they turn it into an idol, whatever thing, right? So, and he didn't want them, also, Hashem didn't want them to pray at Moshe's grave, because if they would pray at Moshe's grave, Jews would get everything they wanted. So it's better not to know where he's buried. Ukvar Shocha Malchus HaRasha Eitzel, and the evil regime of Rome already sent emissaries to do what? We're turning on to the top of the next page. Gastra Shel Beis Peor, the local military governor of Beis Peor, with the following order. This is what the Romans were trying to figure out.
So this is later.
Yeah. This proves the point.
Yeah.
Hareinu Heichad Moshe Kvor. Show us where Moshe is buried. That's what they wanted to know. The officer took them to the general area. Right? So in other words, the strategy of the Romans, they figured the Jews would bury by Moshe's. They didn't know all this. The Jews are going to go to pray by Moshe that we're not going to win the war. So find out where he's buried. We could blockade the Jews from going to this cemetery. But so show us where it is. So Amdulomal, they stood above on an elevated place. Nid Melemahat, it seemed to them that they saw the gravesite below. Lamata, but when they stood below, Nid Melemahat, it appeared that the grave was above. it's an optical illusion. So Nechush, they kidos, they split into two groups, one going each direction. Okay, one says, I'll go on the top, one will go on the bottom. Olsen Shungal Malo, the ones who were standing above, Ninam Lamata, it seemed to them that the gravesite was below. Lamata, those who were standing below, Ninam Lamata, they thought it was above. This was all a mirage that Hashem was trying to confuse them. L'kayim ma'ashenemer, to fill what it says in the Pasuk in Deuteronomy, v'lo yeda ish eskfuroso, no one will know where he is buried, no matter how much you search, Hashem will not enable you to find it. The truth of the matter is, Rav Chanan bar Chanina says, af Moshe Rabbeinu yedecha, Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know where he was buried. Okay, as we'll see from the following Zeir Shava. It's interesting, the Mishnah lists Moshe's grave as one of the ten things that was created at twilight of creation. In other words, these are wondrous things that defy, you know, physical reality. And this is one of them. You can't find where he's buried. How do we know this? And Moshe himself didn't know it. We know it from Gzeir Shavak. Ksivach, it says in this place, Liyada Ishas Kfuraso. No man knew his grave. Why say no man? Just say no one knew. It also says, this is the blessing. Asher Berech Moshe Ish Elohim. You see, this is the blessing of Moshe, the man of God. So Ish, just like no Ish knew where he's buried, similar, not even an Ish like Moshe even knew. Why was Moshe buried right opposite Eitz Por? You know, it's like, imagine burying a Godel Ador right across a church. Right? Why? To atone for the sin of Beis Peor. Look what it says. Tosa says in Medrash, every year on the anniversary of the Avera, the Peor location ascends to heaven to remind Hashem about the guilt. So whatever, but when it sees Moshe's grave, it sinks back and doesn't make any problems. The Hagos Abach amends the Gemara that we're doing and says like this, Rab Chama, somebody says, why is it that the grace of Moshe was hidden from the eyes of flesh and blood? For it was revealed and known to the Holy One that was destined to be destroyed, that the Holy One was destined to be destroyed, and the Jewish people were destined to be exiled from their land. The grave had to be hidden, lest the Jews come crying to Moshe's graveside. It says, rise and pray for us, and they have to rise, and Hashem will have to stop the decree, etc., etc. So everybody didn't want us to pray. Alright, so that's the basic thing. Alright, fine. Ve'omer Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina also says, my dechsiv, what does it mean? Acharei Hashem Elokech Alechem. Moshe says, Upa, he says, Acharei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. Hello? You should follow Hashem. How can you follow Hashem? The Shechina. How can a person follow the Shechina? The Pasuk is impossible. Hashem, your God, is like a fire that will destroy you. How can a person follow after Hashem? Moshe told us to follow Hashem. Answer is, you should go after God's attributes. In other words, you follow him the way he behaves. Mahu malbi sharim, just like God clothes those that don't have clothes. How do we know that? Hashem gave Adam and Eve garments of skin and clothed them. So you see, Hashem does kindness, clothes those who don't have clothes. So therefore, you should enclose those that are without clothes. Now it's obviously not just clothing; it's any case where you have to have sensitivity to a person. Similarly, Kodesh Baruch Hu Biker Cholim, Hashem visits the sick. Last week's parsha, Dechsiv Vayere Elav Hashem Be'elodei Mamre. Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre to Avram Avinu to visit the sick. Avato Baker Cholim, you should also visit the sick, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu Nicham Avim, just like Hashem comforts the mourners. How do we know that? That's already in next week's parsha. Vayhi acharei mos Avram, was after Avram died. And then what does it say? No, it's the end of this week's parsha. Vayivarech Elokim es Yitzchak, Hashem blessed Yitzchak. Right? So what do you mean, blessing him? Blessing him that he was comforting him. So you should comfort the mourners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovar meisim. Hashem buries the dead. The Yechsev says, Vayikvar so bagai. Hashem buried Moshe in the valley. Afatok for meisim. You should also bury the dead. So that's how you have to follow the ways of Moshe. Now, we still got another 5 minutes. Now, let's go back to some of these examples over here. Hashem clothed those who didn't have clothes. So what's the pasuk? Sones or, kosnos or, a skin garments. What does skin garments mean? Rav Shmuel, so machlokas. Chad Amar one says, dover habo mina or, something comes from skin. The garments were made of wool, which is derived from sheep's skin. So it's wool garments, according to one opinion. Chad Amar, dover shaha or, nanamen, is something that the skin takes pleasure in. Meaning they were linen, it's very comfortable. So either was the garment made out of something from skin, or was it made to make something from skin, pleasurable? Darish Rav Samloi. The Rav Samloi says the following drasha. Well, I think we're going to finish the parak, guys. We only got 9 lines to go, so let's do it, okay? Torah, Tchilasa, Gemilas Chasam. The Torah begins with acts of kindness. Vesofa Gemilas Chasam. It ends with acts of kindness. Basically, tell them if you want to know what the book is, it's a book of kindness. Because if the first thing is kindness and the last thing of kindness, yeah, we'll find punishments and this and all these things. But that's only to remove the evil. But really, kindness pervades all reality. How do we know this? Tchilas of Gemilas Chasadim. What's the beginning of Gemilas Chasadim? That's what we said. Vayas Hashem Mokim Lodon Lishol Kosnos Or Vayal Hashem. Hashem gave them garments. He garmented them. Vesofa Gemilas Chasadim. The end is Gemilas Chasadim. Dichsiv. Vayit Paros Obagai. He buried him in the valley. It's in the commentaries say, these examples are very instructive. Because think about the chesed that Hashem did to Adam and Chava. He told, first they had no clothes, and they had no problems with that. They were not ashamed, they weren't embarrassed. Hashem said, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So one thing I'm telling you to do is don't eat from the forbidden fruit. Because you're going to do, it's going to make problems. What do? They eat from it. And what was the first problem? They felt they were unclothed. So Hashem should have said, so you know what? Live with your mistake. Yeah. Why should I help you? A lot of times, you give people advice, they don't listen to your advice, and then they need your help.
Live with it, yeah.
But Hashem said, no. He helps them anyway. Same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not supposed to die. But he sinned by hitting the rock. So he didn't listen to Hashem. Hashem said, why should I bury you? You know what? Does it anyway. So you see, you have to do kindness even though the people are the source of their own problems. Now, a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. Dorosh Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi says, Mipnei ma nisava Moshe Rabbeinu. What was Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so desperately with Eretz Yisrael? Was it simply because it was a good vacation spot? He want to eat the nice fruits. Or he needs to be satiated with all the bounty that's there. I mean, it is a nice, if there wasn't wars over there, it's a very nice place to vacation, right? Go to Eilat, go to this place, go to the sea. Does Moshe Rabbeinu want a good retirement home over there? No way. Elakach Omer. Moshe, this is what Moshe says. Harbe mitzvahs isav Yisrael. There's many mitzvahs that the Jews are commanded to do. You can only do them in Eretz Yisrael. So kanes ani laretz, let me enter the land. Kadesh yiskai makol yodis, so that the mitzvahs will be fulfilled through me. I want to teach them how to do these mitzvahs. I didn't finish my job. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, kluma tamavakesh al kabel schar. What, you only want to get reward? I will consider it as if you had done it. In other words, I'll consider it as if you did it then. Now, there's a number of difficulties over here. Here's the problem. How could Rav Simloi ask why Moshe desired to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael? What are you talking about? What kind of question is that? The great merit of living in Eretz Yisrael is well established. And all the rabbis and the patriarchs and all of them, they wanted to live there. So what's the question? Even the whole question doesn't make sense. Of course we know why you want to do it. The response is also not so easy to understand. Do you seek anything other than to gain reward? Do we think that's what Moshe was looking for, a reward? Could it be that Moshe, the greatest prophet, wanted to get payment? And the third question, the phrasing of Moshe's comment, I will enter the land so all the mitzvahs will be fulfilled through me. It's also awkward. It should have said, so that I may fulfill all the mitzvahs.
But he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah for Israel.
Okay, so let's see. So one of the answers is, it's certainly a great mitzvah to dwell in Eretz Yisrael, to observe the attendant halachas and to partake of its wholeness. But Moshe did not beseech God to allow him to dwell there, since he knew that the decree had already been issued, and so dwelling in Eretz Yisrael was out of the question. So he knew he couldn't dwell there. So Moshe asked only, let me now cross and see the land. What did that mean? Moshe wished only to enter the land and see it for a short time. It is in this context that Rav Simloy presents his question. It would make perfect sense if Moshe wanted to ascend his soul and settle there permanently. This was the goal of the patriarchs. But why did he want to just go there and not live there? That would be like entering an orchard, tasting its fruit and leaving. Is that what Moshe wanted? In other words, Moshe only knew he could just go in for a little while. So what did he go in? Just for a little vacation? So what Moshe did desire of this flight was the spiritual betterment of other Jews. He was not content with the spiritual perfection he achieved himself, but wished to help other Jews perfect themselves as well. He therefore urged other Jews to observe the mitzvahs that were incumbent upon them whenever the opportunity arose. However, there was a large amount of mitzvahs that they didn't have a chance to do. They weren't in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he wished to enter Yisrael briefly to do all he could so that they should observe these laws, and then he would leave. In this way, all the mitzvahs would be fulfilled for them. That, I only want to be there temporary. I know I can't be there, but just enough to teach them how to do it and get them going. So now, what's the answer? All you want is to receive a reward? It doesn't mean not a reward in this world and next, but to earn the merit of fostering the observance of the mitzvahs dependent on the land. That's what you want. If that is what you want, then I reckon as if you had performed them, as if all the Jews will perform in holy mitzvahs because of you, and you're the catalyst for it anyway. The reason for this is that were it not for Moshe, the Jewish people would have long been destroyed. It's only because Moshe interceded for them after the golden calf, after the spies, he risked his life to keep them alive. Therefore, God reckons the Jews as Moshe's creation, and from whatever mitzvahs they fulfill, the portion of their merit accrues to Moshe. So it says, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. Lachain, therefore, Hashem said, and this is the pasuk approves it, Achalek l'barav, I will assign him a portion from the multitudes. Ve'es atzumim yechalek shalol, and he will divide spoils with the mighty. Why? Tachas asher hera l'moves avshem, in turn for having poured out his soul for death. Vesposhim nimna, and among being counted among the wicked. Now, wait a minute. And yet, v'hu chet rabim nasa, and he bore the sins of the multitudes. It's all the pasuk. V'laposhim yafkia, and prayed for the wicked. That's the pasuk. So now, it keeps going. L'chein achalek l'baram, therefore I will assign him a portion from the multitudes. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Yochel Kachran Vokeshan, you might think he'll be assigned a portion like the later righteous men, but not like the earlier ones? No. Talmud Lomar says, Ve'es Ha'atsumi Yachal, he will divide spoils with the mighty. In other words, with the ones who are the mighty? Ka'avram Yitzchak Yaakov. We'll give him like Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Sheheim Atsumim Batur Mitzvahs. They were mighty in Torah Mitzvahs. Next part of the Pasuk says, Tachas Ashehera Lamoves Nashim, in return for having poured out his soul for death. Shemasar Atzmalamisa, he sacrificed himself to die for the Jewish people, because after the sin of the golden calf, he said to Hashem, Dimein, if you're not going to forgive them, Mecheni na Mesivar, wipe me out of your Torah. Vesposhim Nimna, and being counted for the wicked, what does that mean? Shenimna Mesivar, he was counted amongst those who died in the desert. The ones who died in the desert were really sinners, but he gets counted with them, even though he wasn't in their category at all. It says, "Vahu chait Rabbi Nasa." He bore the sin of the multitudes. What does that mean? Shekeeper al Masrev. He atoned for the incident of the calf. V'laposhim yafkia, and he prayed for the wicked. Shebikesh rachamim laposhi Yisrael. He asked for mercy for the sinners. Israel shiachs tshuva, that they should do tshuva. Okay. So from here, the Zohar learns it's a mitzvah to pray that a wicked person should return and to being a good person. So he davened for that. Now, how do we know that means prayer? Ve'ein pegiya. The word says pegiya. How do we know pegiya means prayer? Ein pegiya l'tfila. Shneimers will find out in 2 weeks, 3 weeks in the Torah portion. It says va'ata. Oh no, different pasuk. Va'ata altis alel ba'ata amazeh. And you, Yirmiyo, do not pray for this people. Ve'al tisa badam rino tfila. And don't speak up for them with a cry and a prayer. And finally, Hashem says that va'al tifkabi. And don't tifkabi, which means don't pray to me. From here we see it means prayer. Hadran Allah Hamakan Alishto. So we finished the first parak of a Makan Alishto. On Monday we begin the next chapter. So good way to end the week.
Sure.
And we end all the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu.